So I want to begin with a few words of introduction. First, to say that there are many ways of practicing Vipassana, many starting points and approaches, all of them leading to discovery of a unique way of being aware, unique way of attending to our life as we live it. And here, for this retreat, a way of practicing Vipassana is centering ourselves on the breathing. Like the breathing is the home base, if it works for you. Some people it doesn't, and so then we offer other things, talk to us about it. But the breathing at the center. And then as we go along, things will occur that are more predominant, that pull your attention more strongly than the breathing. And then the task is to let go of the breathing and bring that special mindfulness, special kind of awareness to whatever it is that's predominant. And then after knowing it for a little bit, returning to the breathing. So the breathing is a default, is the home base. We keep coming back to the breathing, checking in with the breathing, being there. And then in the course of this retreat, we'll expand what that range of predominant things might be. We want to keep it kind of simple at first. So yesterday was mostly breathing. Today I'm going to talk about mindfulness of the body. And so when there are strong body sensations that are more compelling than breathing, those are completely legitimate and appropriate objects of attention to develop the mindfulness, the special attention, that special way of attending that we have. And you might stay attending to body sensations for some time, or it might be enough just to acknowledge how it is, and then it's easier to come back to your breathing. Tomorrow we'll talk about emotions and then thinking the following day. So we're kind of expanding out with a principle that what we're developing is the capacity to be aware of all our life experiences as they're being lived in the present moment, attending to them in this special way that mindfulness is. So I want to say a few words about this special way, the different way of attending, of being aware. And I'm going to use an example. You might want to open your eyes to see what I'm going to do, because maybe it'll make a little bit more of an impression on you. And so if my hand is a metaphor, an analogy right now for a bit of awareness, mindfulness, attention. So I could find something that's to attend to with awareness. So I find this wonderful striker. So I could think that this striker is like the best thing going in the universe. And any self-respecting Dharma teacher has a striker like this wonderful, like to show that their full majesty of being a teacher. And so this is really important for me in my identity. So I'm going to attend to it. I'm going to be mindful of it. This is like, I've got it. And I'm not going to let it go because this is so important. So I'm really mindful of it, really attending to it like this. Like this is going to save me. My future is dependent on it. Or it could be that, wow, how could they have a little teeny little striker like that at IRC? I mean, this is like this is kind of not so nice, you know, and, you know, has little stains on it, and So, yes, I'll attend to it, kind of. I don't really want to, but I'll kind of be aware of it, kind of like this. And but either way, I've been hearing, you're supposed to let go of things, but I can't let go of it. I'll make a loud noise on the, you know, to wake everybody up. And, you know, what do I do with this? And I need it. I should have it. And how do you let go? You know, and these Buddhists are all about letting go and give me a break. And, you know, why should it be, what's wrong with the striker? Why let go of the striker? You know, they overdo it, these Buddhists. They don't understand what's important. But letting go is not letting go of the striker. I just let go of it. I let go of the grasping to it. I let go of the holding onto it. I let go of the resistance to it. So when we're practicing mindfulness, don't think of it so much as getting rid of something or holding on to something. We're discovering a special way of attending where there's a way that the awareness, the mindfulness of anything that we're aware of, it's kind of like we're going like this to it. Oh, that's how it is now. Kind of like awareness is an open hand that just holds it. And if it's a bird, it'll fly off. And if not meant to fly off, maybe just hold it that way and see what happens. If it's a scared bird, it might first just sit there until it feels like it's safe and relax. It'll stop shivering and then it flies off. So there are all kinds of things will happen, but the idea is what we're trying to do. So the focus of mindfulness, we'll always have a focus, the breathing, body sensations, sounds, tomorrow emotions and thoughts and all kinds of things. But don't be blinded by the object of what you're paying attention to. A big part of mindfulness is learning how to open the hand, the fist of the mind, and just holding it this way. Oh, it's like this. And so it's a different skill. That's why this mindfulness is a special way of attending. Oh, this is different. I always judging everything. It's everything is like I'm for it or against it. But no, not for or against, just like this. It's a special way of attending. So how we're aware, how we're mindful, is a really central aspect. And that's what all these different techniques of mindfulness, they're all kind of pointing us eventually to how we hold everything, how we attend. And this way allows something very different to happen than this way. Or even this way, it's just, you know, that you let something go. So just like this. And what I said yesterday in the Dharma talk, that if you're using mental noting or if mindfulness always involves some degree of recognition of what's happening. It could be in the terms of mental note. It could be something that is very quiet in the mind, like the quietest place you have ever thought from. Find that quiet place of thinking, quietest place, most gentle, and there recognize what's happening here. But recognize what's happening as if you're like in your little cozy nest, in your kind of comfortable home deep inside. Oh, it's warm. Oh, this is breathing. This is how it is. So in that moment of recognition, think of it as a beginning, not an end. Like not the checklist approach of mindfulness. I've done that. I'll just wait for something else to happen now. But rather, you just open your hand to something. Like, oh, I feel warm. So warm. And you open the hand of awareness. Now, to feel in the sensitive part of your hand, feel what it's like to be warm. I feel it in my chest, in my upper arms. Oh, to register it. And then there's a sound outside. Hearing, and then no, it's already gone, but you register the sound if it's there. Hold it like that. Oh, there's an in-breath. And then your open hand. Okay, now let's register. Let the sensations, the ability to feel physically, let's sense and feel. What's that like to breathe with this open sensitivity? And it might only last for a few moments because the in-breath ends. And then the out-breath begins. And you're there to kind of, with this open hand, kind of like your hand is open in the wind, and you're feeling the wind blow across the most sensitive part of the hand. So, and then you, just breathing. And then you notice, well, I don't like this breath. This is not the right breath for a meditation retreat. I'm supposed to be something different. Oh, now there's resistance, there's aversion. That's not the open hand of awareness. That's a little bit of a closed hand. It doesn't want it to be what it is. or that was like the best breath that anybody's ever had on a meditation session. Boy, you know, I'm going to hold on to that breath forever. And then you faint because you're not breathing. You know, so holding on, you know. But just always this idea, oh, we're opening the fist of the mind, fist of the heart, just always opening, oh, so we can sense and feel and allow things to be and get to know it. It's a radical different new way of being in our world, because oftentimes we're aware together with our reactivity, together with our aversions and our desires and greeds. And we're trying to be aware now in a new way. So with that, I'm going to introduce to you mindfulness of the body as a guided meditation. So assuming your meditation posture, nice to take the first minutes of the meditation to prepare yourself to be a little different than usual, to get ready for this other way of attending. And so it might be helpful to take a few long, slow, deep breaths, relaxing as you exhale. And then to let your breathing return to normal. There's no particular way you're supposed to breathe in doing this meditation, but it's helpful not to intentionally breathe in any technique way. Just let your body breathe itself. And as you exhale, relax the muscles of your face. As you exhale, soften in the shoulders. As you exhale, maybe softening in the belly. As you exhale, if it's easy enough, soften, relax the thinking mind. Any tension or pressure associated with thinking. And then to do an exercise for mindfulness of the body. Let your attention settle in one of your hands. And the idea is now to attend to the sensations of your hand. In a very simple way, where awareness is like an open hand that registers the sensations of the hand. So, the sensations in the palm of your hand. The back of your hand. The fingers. If you find yourself thinking more than you are feeling the hand, let there be the quietest possible recognition of sensations and open up awareness to receive the sensations of your hand. Maybe letting the thinking mind be quiet, even for a few moments, so you can more fully sense the experience of the hand. Tingling, pulsing, warmth and coolness, contact against some part of your body, pressure, maybe some sensations are pleasant, maybe some somewhat unpleasant. And then notice how you're being attentive, how awareness is there. Is it reluctant? Are you straining and trying hard? Are you more involved in judging what's happening than feeling what's happening? Are you operating under desire, sensual desire for some good experience? Or is there aversion to your experience in the hand, to doing the exercise? An experiment with being with the hand in this new way of attending, an openness that allows the hand to experience itself. Are there some simple ways of adjusting your mindfulness so the awareness is not involved with judging, being for or against? It just allows what's there to be known, to be experienced. And then I'm going to direct your attention to another area of your body. And to do the same exercise there, just take in the sensations in that area. All of them. The varied ones. So bring your attention to some part of your body where there's some discomfort. And don't focus, don't fixate on the discomfort. Just let your attention roam around that area to feel the various sensations, including the uncomfortable ones. And maybe because there's discomfort, does awareness of it come along with aversion or desire for something different or judging? Any kind of tension in the mind or body? And if the task is not to get rid of the discomfort, the task is to discover a new way of attending, to be aware with an open hand of awareness, allowing the sensations of whatever is in that part of your body. To feel safe in the palm of awareness. And you taking in the experience for a few moments, and when you need to renew the attention, another moment of clear recognition of what's happening to you. And then calmly begin again, being mindful of your breathing by bringing your attention to that part of your body where it's easiest or clearest to experience breathing. In the same way that you felt the hand, feel that part of your body as it moves, as it shifts with the in-breaths and out-breaths. With the quietest, calmest place of thinking, Let your thinking be recognizing what's happening. So thinking is not involved with other concerns. Maybe being curious. What is this open way, open-handed way of being aware? Open-handed way of allowing yourself to experience an in-breath and out-breath in whatever way the body moves and shifts and experiences breathing. And finally, continue with your breathing unless there is something more compelling in your body, stronger sensations that pull your attention. And if that's the case, you can let go of focusing on breathing and do the exercise of the hand with that area of your body. And part of what you're training yourself to do is training yourself to stay present with this new way of being aware. And after a while, if it feels complete, then you can return to your breathing. as part of the field of the body. Sometimes we can be aware of the tension or pressure associated with thinking, or the agitation. And then we bring this mindfulness of the body to that pressure or tension, agitation, and hold that in the palm of awareness. So you're not focusing so much on what you're thinking about, but rather the whatever physical processes are in play as you think. In this way, holding the thinking mind in the palm of your hand, palm of awareness, what's afraid can maybe begin to calm down. What's trouble can ease up. And what wants to fly away can fly away. Most things you're thinking about are not needed. Not now. And then beginning again with the body's experience of breathing. ring the bell 3 times to end the sitting. And if you'd like, have the open hand of awareness take in the sound of the bell, letting that sound be felt as you recognize it. So thank you. So when we start discussing the mindfulness of the body, breathing, mindfulness of breathing is a subset of the body. Just as part of the way of being aware of the body is to be aware of breathing. And breathing is often intimately connected to our reactivity, our responses to things. And so it's like often interesting to notice how we're breathing and just keep breathing. Breathe into the ways in which maybe breathing is restricted or tight or shallow without being troubled by it, but just hold that in awareness and just gently massage what's happening. When there's pain in the body, pain is made up of many pieces, many component parts. It's not like pain is not just like a single thing as it advertises itself, but it's made up of many things, many component parts. Some of them are psychological. Some of them have to do with our reactivity and our beliefs. And so as we learn to this art of just being aware, very simply, this new way of being aware, just open palm of awareness and just without the reactivity in the awareness, without the for and against, it begins to calm some of the psychological contributions to the pain. And then the closer we can kind of feel the area of the body where the pain is, sometimes it actually can still be intense, but people no longer feel it as pain because the psychological things begin to quiet. And one of the interesting psychological things that quiet down is what's seemingly very innocent recognition in the mind. I am in pain. My knees are hurting. And of course, people talk that way. It's kind of okay. But there's this difference, sometimes a big, sometimes subtle difference between the knee is hurting versus my knee is hurting. There's pain as opposed to I'm in pain. The I is not a psychologically innocent statement. It actually comes along with a lot of complexity. And so as we learn this art of this simple awareness, just being present in an open way, we slowly will learn we don't need a lot of the self-referencing that goes on in these experiences. And that's part of the psychological, some of the component parts that contributes to the intensity of pain is the way we self-reference it. So to keep it simple, it is to always be simple, that simple awareness of what is. Sometimes when there's a lot of pain, it can be also nice to stay connected to your breathing, mostly, And that helps you sometimes to not go into the reactive thinking. But you still, the pain needs to be acknowledged. And so imagine that your breathing is breathing through the pain, massaging the pain. And then it's being acknowledged, you're being present for it, but the breathing maybe keeps you a little bit more limber, loose, and staying present for it. And that can be helpful. And when physical pain becomes, just before it starts becoming discouraging, if you can recognize that moment, you're welcome to change your posture if you need to alleviate the pain. So walking meditation is the same way. In walking meditation also, walking is predominantly a physical experience. Some people, it's easier to appreciate walking meditation being physical than sitting meditation because of all the movement we do. And so it might be a nice place to experiment with mindfulness of the body, dropping into your body and just sensing and feeling the parts of the body that are most actively moving or shifting sensations, and the way you felt the hand. But now you're doing clearly the moving sensation. So the sensations as the foot lifts and places down again, and the whole leg that's moving. Some people like to just kind of feel the whole body as it moves through space, and there's kind of a just open, kind of generalized attention to the whole body can be very attractive for the mind to kind of just be there like you're a dancer or something. Don't dance, just walk normally. But from the inside, it might feel like you're dancing. One of the things that has helped me with walking meditation in terms of this idea of letting ourselves experience, register, take in the experience more fully. There's recognizing that it prepares us to experience it more fully, sense what's going on. What's helpful for me has been the idea that the feet or the legs are sponges. And like a physical sponge absorbs water when you place it in water, the sponge of the feet and the legs is absorbing sensations. And so that kind of switches it from me being in the control tower trying to do something in my legs, feet, be attentive, to being in the receptive mode. Oh, there are things just coming. They're just appearing in my leg. They're just being absorbed up there. And then I just kind of stay with those sensations, receive them as I do the walking. So today we have begin the first cycle of practice discussions with half of you, those of you who signed up for Tuesday. And the two places where we're meeting are outdoors on the Bodhi deck, which is right out there. If you go out the back door of the dining hall and up the path, it's kind of a little bit on the right. And the treehouse deck, which you just keep going straight on that path towards that house that's in the back there. And there's a garage, you know, and there's a wooden walkway on the side of the garage. And you walk down that walkway. If you're first person, just walk down to the deck, and there's little steps going up to the deck. If you're coming after that, go halfway down the deck. There's a little step there and a door to the garage. Just wait there. Hopefully there'll be a chair there for you can sit on. Just be there. So when the person ahead of you comes down the steps, you can go in. And when you come down the little steps from the deck, don't go back the way you came on the wooden walkway. Just take immediate right, and there's a little walk through the forest that will take you back to the redwood grove there and back to wherever you want to go next. And if you're seeing Francisco, just be attentive that he's having some of his practice discussions on the treehouse deck first, and the second group will be on the Bodhi deck. So it's a split, in the morning split for him. And that's because I will be sitting in on his practice discussions in the second half of the day on the Bodhi deck. And that's part of my role in training them is to now also sit in on their practice discussions and be able to offer advice or suggestions or observations of what I see. And they had the chance to do it with me, sitting in with me. So now I get the pleasure of sitting in with them. So thank you so much for being here. And I'd like to add one more thing, if I may, for this morning, that based on the talk yesterday. So where's your faith? And is there some way of evoking this, the kind of desire of faith, of aspiration, conviction, that's for the Dharma, for the practice? And one way to think about this is if you spend a lot of time thinking about anything at all, a lot of time with aversion or desire or with fear or all kinds of things, we don't usually think this way, but something in you has a lot of faith in desire, a lot of faith in the importance of focusing on fear, on the things that are wrong. So you have all the faith you need, but you're directing it to something that maybe is not the best place to invest your faith. So you might think about, oh, my faith is in fantasy. My faith is, it certainly looks that way because I put a lot of time into it. My faith isn't thinking. Boy, do I ever think. But now switch your faith to Dharma faith, Dharma conviction, to the desire, Dharma desire, to really show up, to really be here and maybe be curious and interested in this new way of being aware, which it'll give you your life. It's a great thing to do. Isn't that nice? You gain your life in a way that fantasy won't. Thank you.